As you all know, we are in the kingdom of Srimati Radharani, and in order to glorify Srimati Radharani, this evening I want to read to you a few statements about her glory from one Govinda Vrindavan. One moment. Govinda Vrindavan Shastra. There's a Govinda Vrindavan Shastra. We actually hear a discussion between Krishna and Balaram. Krishna tells Lord Balaram about Srimati Radharani. Oh Balaram, please listen and I will tell you something. I will tell you something. One day, I took my flute. My heart was full of bliss. And my form was bending in three places. Krishna says like this. I took my flute with my heart full of bliss. I went under a kadamba tree. Very interesting. And there I saw my own form reflected in a splendid golden platform studded with jewels. You know, around the kadamba trees of Vrindavan, you will find not only the kadamba trees, about any other good trees, you will find a platform about this height where one can sit, because, you know, the trees have this ability that in the evening, when everything else becomes cold, they give away the warmth of the day which they have stored in the tree trunk. While during the day, when it's everything becomes very hot, they give a cooling shade. So Krishna goes under this kadamba tree, and there is this platform which is a very useful for people for the Radha Krishna and the divine couple to sit upon. You will find today also under trees these platforms. They are meant for sitting and sleeping in the night, warm in the night and cool in the day. So there, Balaram, I saw my own form reflected on the splendid golden platform, which was studded with jewels. And Balaram, I became so enchanted by this form. I will request Adya to go and get the... There's a little round box on the altar in that room, which is studded. It's a little greenish. And get the blue sitting cushion as well, please. I will show you now what it means that the splendid golden platform was studded with jewels, this image, because we have to understand it very carefully. What attracted so much the mind of Lord Krishna? He saw his own beautiful form. Thank you. This is something which is studded. These are the most precious of all jewels. Not at all imitation jewels. So the platform, golden platform, looked a little bit like this, which had this studded. Studded means it was placed upon it, but in nice colorful forms, ornamentational form. Satya, please look. This means studded with jewels. So Krishna saw his own reflection in it. At that moment, My heart became filled with the sweet happiness known as conjugal love, which charms the entire world. Krishna, in other words, desires to enjoy this form. My heart now desires to become a woman. I yearn to enjoy myself as a woman. Amazing, isn't it? Listen how this continues. It is something very unusual. As the Lord thought in this way, his heart approached itself. It seems his desire went right before his heart. From the sweetness of his heart came bliss. He becomes very, very blissful. And from the bliss came himself manifested in a second form. A female form of transcendental bliss that could experience the direct perception of himself. In other words, from the bliss of Krishna's heart manifests a female form. Who knows the name of this form? Srimati Radharani, you know everything. And this form of Radha could directly see Lord Krishna and develop desires toward Lord Krishna. At that time, a goddess whose form was nectar, whose fair complexion was like a host of lightning flashes, and who was decorated with glittering ornaments, appeared from the Lord's left side. Hare Krishna. She is known as Radha, who is half of Krishna's body and who is the mistress of all potency. Now, it is known that Krishna has three potencies, of which Radharani is the ruler. First, it's the Icha Shakti, that means his desires. Then it's the Jnana Shakti, his knowledge, potency, by which he knows everything. And finally, it is the Kriya Shakti. Krishna's name is Satya Sankalpa, that is, whatever desire appears in his heart, that is immediately executed by the Kriya Shakti, his powerful activity of doing things and making things done. Now, in this place where this lila developed, where now Radha is there, in the most beautiful of forms, looking at Krishna and desiring Krishna, and Krishna desires her, that is where the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna are born in this situation. The way Radharani appeared in this world is a very memorable story. One morning, Vrishabhanu Maharaj took his bath in the Jamuna near Raval, and as he was entering the Yamuna, in the distance he saw a lotus flower on which a golden baby was lying, who spread a huge, huge color of light. It was a golden light which became spread by this baby. And he came towards this lotus flower because he was so attracted by this small child. But strangely enough, he was not able to come close to that lotus flower. At that time, Lord Brahma appeared picked up that golden baby and moved towards him. Brihaspati Maharaj was overwhelmed. And Brahma told him, do you remember in your last life? Last life? Yes, in your last life you were Suchandra, who had performed a tremendous amount of austerities. Oh yes, now I remember. May you tell me? Well, at the end of the austerity, is you asked me to give you the highest boon of the highest liberation. And I said yes. But at that moment, your wife was also there. And she was crying. Her name was Kalamati. She said, I'm so attached to my husband. If he gets liberation, what shall I do? If, Brahma, you give him liberation, I will curse you. So when a lady is following a strict spiritual life, she gets tremendous power. I guess because for ladies' mind, it is, they often are not centered in themselves, not satisfied. Their center is in their husband, in their children, that is outside of them. They are not very often able to be centered into themselves and have a relationship with the Lord inside. But they always reflect, I must do this, I must buy this, I must get a child, I must get a husband. And in this way, they are always outside of themselves. That's a problem for the female psychology. But if a lady, a devoted lady, can overcome this problem and be just satisfied with her own sweet relationship with the Lord of her heart, she gets tremendous power. She becomes a saintly lady, and even Lord Brahma is afraid, oops, what happens when she curses me? Then my life is gone. The moment this you must know, you are all saintly ladies, but you must know this, to learn to be satisfied within yourself with the Lord of the heart. Obviously, afterwards, we can also do our womanly duties as mothers and spouses and partners. But we always, if we want to have integrity and spiritual strength, we must go to this place inside and not always be outside of ourselves. Because there we are just nervous all the time, and our desires to rule this or to arrange this world will never work. They never work. Hare Krishna, this is the same as the men have to learn this lesson. So Brahma was afraid, my God, if she curses me. And then he said, don't worry, Kalavati. First, you will be born as Kirtida, and your husband will be also there with you. What do you desire? And Kalamati said, just like my husband wants liberation, I want a daughter who will be the eternal partner of Lord. So Balaram, Brahma said, Tatastu, you will be the mother of Srimati. You know everything. You will be the mother of Srimati Radharani, and I will give that little girl to your husband when he takes a bath. This is our... So then Radha, Vrishabhanu took the girl. As soon as he touched her, he began to shake, could not contain his blissful ecstasies. And somehow he did not know how, because he always fell on his knees. Somehow he reached the house of she, of her wife and said, and he couldn't say anything. He just said, she didn't even say anything. He said, put the beautiful girl who was emanating showers of milosti, of mercy. He placed it in the hands of his wife. And everything was very, very well with the girl. She was so indescribable, beautiful, and so much bliss came from her. There was this only this one problem. She was blind. She didn't hear anything, and she didn't speak anything. Hare Krishna, deaf, dumb, and blind. Now already the next few days, Narada Muni came, because Narada Muni was knowing that Radha would appear in the land of Braj, and he wanted to welcome her. And he was searching in every home, so he came with ecstasy, knocking at the palace door of Maharaj Vishabhanu and said, "Is a lady daughter born to you?" Vishabhanu Maharaj said, "No, I only have a boy. His name is Sridhar." "Really," said Narada Muni, "I feel something in my heart that maybe a lady girl, a daughter is born to you." Said Vishabhanu Maharaj, "Yes, but she's deaf, dumb and blind. Can you cure her?" "Show this lady girl to me." And Narada Muni went in, and there he saw the most beautiful being in creation. The moment, and he started to pray, and when he prayed, this girl transformed herself into the most wonderful of divine goddesses, Srimati Radharani. She had, I hope I can find it. Yes. A shape like this on her head, like this, huh? Like a teardrop of love for Krishna. Narada Muni prayed to her like anything, and she appeared in her full splendor. Ah, yes. And then he said, "I cannot cure her, but invite Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, that they bring their little Kanai. Kanai can cure her. Krishna can cure her." Then an invitation was brought, and Krishna came, and he immediately entered the room where Radha was lying, and he pulled himself up at her little bed, her cradle, and started to look at Radha. The moment Krishna looked at Radha, Radha opened her eyes and looked at Krishna. And they looked into each other's eyes. They recognized each other. And Radharani started to cry, a blissful cry, "Oh my Lord." She spoke, and she heard Lord Krishna. Yes, the medicine had been given Krishna. So to this Srimati Radharani, the queen of Vrindavan, who satisfies all of Govinda's desire, Rupa Goswami prays, "O queen of Vrindavan, O Sri Radha, I worship you. Your fair complexion is more resplendent than molten gold. The color of your sari has the hue of a blue lotus flower. Even the beautiful lotus in full bloom or the rising full moon offers no comparison to your breathtaking face, for it is much more exquisite. In other words, Krishna, Radharani's face looks more beautiful than the full moon. The arches, this is the round forms, of your elegant eyebrows put to shame Cupid's bow. It is described that from Radharani's arches are like a bow of Cupid which fire arrows at Lord Syamasunda from the corner of her eyes. A volley of arrows, that means like a swarm, like a bee swarm of arrows. And Krishna, at that time, his turban goes to one side. He loses his flute. Clang, 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 clang. And sometimes he falls on the ground because it's so strong. The arrows are so strong. Your cascading black tresses, that means it comes down like a waterfall. Tresses, means braids, sway, and the dark mascara on your roving eyes. Roving eyes means wandering eyes. They walk. It's described, Krishna's eyes walk from here to his ears. So Radharani's eyes will also roving, the word roving is wandering eyes. They walk all over. Your fine nose is decorated by a ring studded with the noblest pearl. So there's first a ring and then a pearl. And your lips are more charming than bright red tulips. That's a kind of flower. Your sparkling, even teeth are like rows of spotlessly white jasmine buds. Jasmine is a whitish flower. O Shrimati Radha, among all the beloved gopis, you are the most cherished, this priceless jewel. Therefore, kindly be pleased with me. Kindly be pleased with me. There's another prayer where Rupa Goswami says that he has tried so many things to improve himself, but now he has gone to the Yamuna and he is helplessly rolling on the banks of the Yamuna. And he's calling, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. He's calling like this. And he says, I am so fallen. I thought I'm a very, very good person, but I'm so crooked. I thought I'm so learned, but I'm so ignorant and foolish. Wah! But still, I think you should show me mercy because you have a very special quality in your heart. Your heart is like fresh butter which melts by the fire of your compassionate nature. So please show me your mercy. I mean, I'm most fallen, you should be most compassionate to me. So this is a Radharani. And we are in her kingdom. Never forget in whose kingdom you are. When you are Navadvip, you are in the kingdom of Gauranga. Never forget that. You have to come to the king. When you are in Vrindavan, you are in the kingdom of Radharani. Never forget this. You have to come before her. Every day you have to come and report to the queen. I am here. I am this. Please, I came to your country with great expectations of mercy. Please do give me the mercy. This is how. It's a pratana pada. It's a process of prayer, a process of surrender, which has to be done by all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Shrimati Radharani ki. Very wonderful, very wonderful. Every one of the subjects of Radharani is very, very precious to her. Today we visited a little, we visited the Sandipani Muni school, where these nice Brijbasi children were. I think we all felt very much touched in the heart. Isn't it? We felt so much coming from the children, how they chanted and how they danced. Little saints. And there was a palmist. The palmist means he can read from the palm. And the palmist, the school teachers wanted to see the inclination, that is the talents of the children, so that they could educate them, for instance, some for singing, some for dancing, some for, you know, whatever direction. And the palmist looked at the palms and said, I've never seen such people. My God, they have the Shankar, they have the Chakra, they have the Gada, the Padma, all these signs of very, very great personalities in their hands. And as Rupa Raghunath told me this, we went by this desolate area where the beggars lived, and he said, this is from where all our children come. He showed you know, how they were, you know, this self-constructed plastic house with plastic bags and so on. And then we were talking how they are such great souls in the kingdom of Radharani they have born. And then we said, well, they must have had some type of karma they must have done, and now they just get a full karma by this plastic house birth. You know, one girl came, you know, spoke in English and said she has what is it? 8 children. It was above 10 children, and the father has just died. You know. So some karma is there, but they are in Radha's kingdom, and therefore they have these special signs. You know, they're special souls. So you are also in Radha's kingdom, and you must also be very special souls in some ways to have this opportunity. Of course, some live on the surface of Radha's kingdom, and they are on the way to become special souls. But those who enter through deep Naam Bhajan, the spiritual domain of Vrindavan, they are special souls. Yes. Good. So, this I wanted to read to you, and I wanted to bring to your attention a point with this. When I thought about the children, I thought about all of us. Human, may I ask, why did you bring so many books with you in this room? Yeah, so many. Guneshwara, why did you bring also so many books with you? There's no need of these many books. Manjulali, you brought a whole library with you. You may think, but what is this? Yes, your karmic history. For many, many lifetimes, there's a recording. Every one of us brought such a library. Gaurahari. Like the national library of Britain. It's a huge building, isn't it, the library? Yeah. Angelas, too many books. And many of these books, Kanagabja, many of these, and these books have now determined much of our personality, how we live. Many of us live out, are still controlled by this huge amount of books with the bad information and bad activities. they play into this life. Sachidevi even. So when we come to the kingdom of Radha, when we come into the Vrindavan, sometimes we see this karmic history in the form of interruptions, bad thoughts, problemskis, which come, and so on. We become painfully aware of our conditioning. I do remember some of you who were bold enough to sit on Vilasga and chant. They saw, ooh, I'm still under the control of the ego, which is totally connected with the karmic library. Some of you saw, I don't want to chant. No. But I have to chant, otherwise I look so weak spiritually that it will be bad for my ego. So when we come to the Holy Dham, one of maybe the greatest benefits is that we become aware of our karmic history. We can understand something about it. We can feel it. And at the same time, we become aware of the sweet promise of Krishna, that anyone who comes here will not be disappointed in his or her attempt to find me. These two things are simultaneously there. We become aware of our limitations as well as our prospects. Prospect, the word prospect means some opportunity which you can collect in the future. No? We become aware of our, I think in good English we could say possibilities. That's an easy. We become very, very much aware of possibilities. So, if someone becomes aware of his spiritual possibilities, have some of you become aware of your own spiritual possibilities? That it is possible to become a devotee, Kanakacha? Have you felt like that at times? No, something is wrong and you're being in the Dham if you only have sometimes. Have you prayed before the deities? You must have felt at that time how the deities accepted you as you are, because that's one of their qualities. It's so labya, the deities accept a person as they are when a person prays to them. This is one of the possibilities. You are accepted by God, Kanakapcha. So, you should think about your possibilities. You can, those of you who were at the Govardhan retreat have maybe had a purifying experience and they understood, yes, I actually want to become like this. And you had some idea? No? I want to, when I come home, I chant better rounds. I know one devotee told me like this. When I come home, I will leave this aside and I will do that? No? No? Yes. Oh God! But you are very slow group today. Very slow. I'm getting worried. Do I speak to the right audience this evening? Of course! We have these ideas in the Holy Dham because it's natural. If you don't have these ideas, you must be a stone. But who is a stone? So when you now, after some time, leave the Holy Dham, you should take these possibilities and make them your new script. Rest assured, when you will leave the Holy Dham, come to the West, your old script is there. Be like this, worry, be full of anxiety, try to control the whole universe, except your own mind, and you will find the old script will come there. Don't follow the old script. This is an old script. It's a library. Your old books. for many lifetimes want to again control you. Now, in order to follow your new script, the new sanskaras, we say in spiritual psychology, you have to be aware of one very powerful help, the help of blessing, the power of blessing. Today, my life was blessed. Today, I went to Gopeshwara Mahadev. I learned that today is the day of Lord Shiva. Monday is the day of Lord Shiva. And I went there. And the moment I entered the temple, I saw Ram Narayan Mishra Pandit, a very powerful worshipper of Gopeshwara Mahadev, whose father already worshipped him. And he was bathing Lord Shiva with wonderful mantras as he chanted them. And I was knowing this is a special day. Then we had a perfect guide how to do everything, the arati, the abhishek, and so on. And then we sat in one corner and prayed these wonderful prayers. The Gopeshwarashtakam we prayed, prayers by Jagananda to Lord Shiva. And we learned when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here, he found two personalities, the Yamuna and Gopeshwara Mahadev, because Gopeshwara Mahadev was installed by Vrajanap, the great grandson of Krishna. Same deity. We saw that same deity today. And bathed him, and we glorified him through mantras. We did a kirtan as good as we could while circumambulating him in this special way. We did not step over the abhishek water which came, but you go like this, zhup, then you come to the abhishek channel, then you go back, zhup, stop there, zhup, and you go like this. It was a very amazing experience. We did everything as good as we could, and right after that, see, about 30 years ago, I had a very strong desire which I had never been able to fulfill. I wanted to come to anyways, it will not say the same thing to you, so I will just leave it like this, because some spiritual secrets must be kept. So we went to one particular place, and those who were with us cannot say which place it was, because it was otherwise this, I feel it was the fulfillment of all my spiritual desires in this life to go to this place. In order to reach this place, we had to go through an altar where normally only Brahminical pujaris are allowed. Therefore, I thought it's never possible for me to go to this place. It was a place under the earth. So we went to the altar. I was just very much in bliss. I did not even think of my old desire. All of a sudden, the pujari said we could come closer. So I thought we should come one room closer to the altar room. So we went over the steps and went in this room. It was very warm. We prayed. All of a sudden, he says, come through the altar. I thought, what? Something is wrong here. Or something is right here. Then I remembered my old spiritual desire 30 years ago. And then I wanted to go, but then I said, well, there are devotees with me. If I now go selfishly alone, it's not good. So I asked the pujaris, can the other, you know, I mentioned to the pujari wanting to ask, can the other devotees also come? But the other devotees stood already with me in the altar. they didn't wait for an invitation. They were extremely bold on that day. They also felt something special was in the air. So Pujari looked at them, looked at me. I said, it's difficult. You have to look at the three fingers like this and go, what to do. And then we all went to this place and we all were surcharged with bliss. And we were very, very, very happy and our life today is fulfilled. Now nothing else remains to be done in our lives. We got the me lost. So the reason why I want to tell you this story is because I would like to give you an illustration of how things which are ordinarily very, very difficult can actually become possible by, not by your own strength, but by the strength of mercy. And if you wish to make a good advancement in your spiritual life, and you understand your own limitations, you understand that there is karma with you, and that time you must very, very much learn to pray for mercy. This is very important. You must learn where you can obtain the mercy. You must learn how you can obtain the mercy of these divine personalities. But before, you must be aware, if you want to become a devotee in this life, you will have to change your old karma script. It's not necessary to bring so many books with you wherever you travel. It's a very unnecessary burden. It's a very miserable burden. It's a very desperate burden. I want to make one more point and then we will ask if you have any questions. Adya, there is one thing which I wanted to ask you. There is in that room is a little book like this. It says Stories of Dadu. I will read now. Sit. No translation. Just hearing. If one thinks of Vrindavan as an ordinary material place, who thinks of Vrindavan as an ordinary material place? Don't raise your hand. Maybe 80% of you. But even if one thinks of Vrindavan as an ordinary material place, he must still admit that Vrindavan enchants the minds even of Vaikuntha residents. In other words, Vrindavan is so attractive that you must all admit. When there are these moments when all of a sudden the Vrindavan when all of a sudden this special quality of Vrindavan becomes manifest in the heart, no? We feel the sweetness. Even if we sometimes have a day where we are a little in Maya and think, oh, nothing went well today, and we have this feeling it's just an ordinary place. But He must also admit that Vrindavan's gardens delight the king that enjoys pastimes there. In other words, you must admit Vrindavan is attractive for Krishna. Now comes a very important point. Generally, the six seasons come one after another. You know, for winter, spring, summer, like this. And the qualities of only one season are manifest at any given time. That is, at one time there's only winter or spring or whatever. Here in Vrindavan, however, he who is the moon of Vrindavan can enjoy the pastimes of any season at any time. In other words, Krishna can have summer, winter, autumn experiences. It's very easily possible. In Vrindavan, all the seasons are eternal and they all diligently serve Sri Krishna, the moon of Vrindavan. The gopis decorate Sri Krishna with garlands and other ornaments made from the flowers of many different seasons. So Krishna has all the seasonal splendor and opulences in his crown and this is flower decoration. In Vrindavan, the gardens of all the gopi beloveds of Vrindavan's moon, Krishna, shine with great splendor. A single ray of those gardens' splendor eclipses the Brahman effulgence. This is Braj Riti Chintamani from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It tells us that everyone can serve Krishna at the same time. It's not that the spring has to go when the summer comes, or the summer has to go when the autumn comes. They all can serve Krishna at the same time. And this is such a wonderful point that Jiva Goswami says, can we not learn this from the seasons in Vrindavan? That there is unity in diversity. In other words, many different devotees can serve Lord Krishna at the same time. There is no, I would say, no intolerance. And I begin to feel more and more and more that we have to be very, very careful of this, this unity in diversity. I must admit to all of you that in our movement, I feel we have not always been able to incorporate this principle. We had one style, and everyone who fits in the style is welcome. Who is not fitting is not welcome. This is a little problem which institutions sometimes have, but it's not spiritually correct, really. The seasons teach us what we need to learn also. A nice point, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Nice point. And I think it requires a sattvic intelligence and not a passionate intelligence to realize this point. At the end of my little presentation to you, you can see I'm today very much, I would say, in my bhajan book. I read a very nice song today. This, if you open your eyes to nectar, you will find many. Here. Do you know what is blindfold? You're blindfolded. It's like this. This is a fold. And blindfold means it's covering your eyes. Blindfold. So here's a very nice song, a devotional song. by keeping me blindfolded in this arena of the material world, O Hari. You asked me to catch you. I'm blind. How can I catch you? You are hurling a blow on me, and you tell me with a smile, well, here's my touch that you have been asking for. Krishna gives us a slap, and he says this with a smile, well, here's my touch that you have been asking for. I have reached for you, you know, blind, just to be harassed. You give me a difficult time. You have always stayed close to me, but you have kept me at a distance. Although you are so near and dear to me, you yourself have always remained a stranger to me. My days are coming to an end. Oh, Hari, when will you stop your game? Oh, Hare Krishna. You do such cruel sports, and it frightens me. I'm incapable of catching you. Yes, I admit my defeat. Now please take my blindfold from my eyes and unfold yourself to me, O diffuser of distress. That's a wonderful poem. Found in Daru Tells a Story. A little book where I thought, well, let me see if I find nectar in this book. But yes. Yes. Song 2. I think it's a, yeah, it's a very good bhajan, very good bhajan. So, I guess my most important message to you today is Krishna is very near. He comes even, and Radha are very near. They come even nearer when we visit them at the holy dham, like we have done today, not today, the last month. Now comes, at least for me, the time to return. And it's very, very important for me to go into the new script of my life. I feel at this moment a wonderful new inspirations. Doors have opened for my devotional service, which I thought would be closed for many lifetimes. I'm speaking of both preaching services and my service to Krishna in relationship to praising him and do his bhajan. Krishna has been very merciful, and I'm praying so much that I will be able to take these opportunities. Prabhupada once said, to become Krishna conscious is very easy. You might think, what? Very easy? This is not my experience. I have a different experience. Then he said, what is so difficult is the determination to become Krishna conscious. That's where the difficulty lies. That's why I want to talk to you today about your old script. Human, please don't be shocked. I introduced the point in a shocking way. You know, why did you bring so many books? I did this so that you will not forget this point. Yes. Hare Krishna. So please be so kind to pray for me. I'm leaving excavating. I mean, I'm praying for mercy. But Krishna. So go in the West. I know it will take a lot of discipline in the mind to remember the good realizations and to act according to this. And it will be only possible through the power from above. Beg for mercy, Krishna, please take the blindfold from my eyes. In this poem, the devotee even quarrels a little with Krishna. Is this your game? You ask me to catch you, and then but before you put a blindfold on my eyes, with a smile you give a blow in my life. You're so near, but you keep yourself so far away from me. Like this, the devotee is asking Krishna to be very merciful. Hare Krishna. Alright, so I have come to the end. Time is also there. And I wanted to ask you, do you have some questions? Sadhya, well, is it a good question, Sadhya? It is, okay. What is your question? Sometimes children have very, very good questions.
She asked me to translate.
Yes.
She says, sometimes a person will become angry from the other person, although the other person is not doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Why it is like that?
No. Very nice question, Sadhguru. Why are we becoming angry? Because there's anger within us. It's not the other person's problem, it's our problem. We have this anger within us, and then it comes out like urine. It's our situation here.
So why we like angry?
Why we like to be angry? Because we are in Maya. Why are we in Maya?
sometimes I see someone is destroying me and I have to be angry.
Sometimes you.
And sometimes I see nobody is destroying me and I'm angry.
Yeah. You have a very, very big temperament, Sadhya. And you will have to be careful when you grow up with this anger. Best is to learn to control it already now. Are there maybe other questions? Thank you very much, Sadhya. Yes. Are there other questions as well? What? You have something?
I
not yet coming, but human.
How we should approach these holy places, like you said, this Gopeshwar Mahadev's temple. So somehow we can taste a little bit nectar or something. We cannot make communication with the persons over there. They don't know at least.
Well, when you go to a place of pilgrimage, you should always go with kirtan. This is the first rule. You should set yourself in a right consciousness. Because you know, only when you are in the right consciousness, you can see something spiritual. Then, it is said, when you go to a holy place, it's never good to come empty-handed. You should offer something. A little ceremony, a little, even an incense. And you've seen Vrindavan. Have you seen the devotees? They have this, they're very poor. They take this and then offer the light. They don't come empty-handed. They know their little worship. This was given to me. I was not thinking of this this time, and I was. So you should never come empty-handed. Bring something. Then the third thing is, so do some puja, in other words. Then offer some glorification. You can take a prayer with a song book. You can take some good shastra, which is tuning yourself in. Glorification. Then you should offer prayers.
Ask
she can do this later.
You can do.
Please wait. So you should offer a prayer. That's very important. Krishna. You should come with the prayer, good prayer, either your own prayer or prayers from others. From acharyas. So we have now four. Kirtan, puja, praise, ashtakams are there, prayer, there are six things which you do on the path of bhajan. Obeisances, very important. That's the fifth. And then you should render some service when you're at the holy place. Many devotees just clean. That's called the Jaru Seva. You know, the Jaru Seva. That's a very simple service. You give a donation, is also a service which is acceptable, very much acceptable. So these things will help you to communicate with the divine personalities who are there in the place. And if you do these things, these divine personalities will answer in some way, often in a language you can understand. That is, something will happen which shows you it was happening due to their arrangement. Very often in a language you can understand where you are. But if you don't do these things, then you don't communicate and they will not respond so easily. I know that you will stay and I have I will give you these kibiks which I don't need any longer for this year. I have already decided this to give you so that you can do a little puja or something. At the beginning, at least that's my experience, whenever I go to these divine places and holy places, I feel inside of me a great nervousness, a shaking, because I know I'm totally now, I'm not in control of anything which happens now. And I'm totally at the hands of the divine personalities. And sometimes they don't answer. Many times they don't answer. And because we are so short here, you know. Few days only, you know. We feel very much a desire that some answer, some sign from the transcendence, please, something, you know, and some cool breeze into my hot material existence, you know, some sign that you are there. This is what a devotee wishes to see, some sign that Krishna is there. And, but you can't control Krishna at all. Sometimes he will be silent. He will keep his devotees waiting. He is known for this, you know. By now I have accepted this waiting. And I want to tell you, please accept this waiting also. If you always want Krishna and demand Krishna to show himself, then again you take on the controlling attitude. Be satisfied with what happens. Be satisfied. You know, this usually what we tell the devotees at the Japa retreat. Whatever happens, that is good for you. That is the door which Krishna opens for you. This kind of simple faith is necessary for a devotee. Not that we determine what Krishna has to do. Yesterday I went with one devotee on to some pilgrimage place, and he said to me, this time we didn't get as deep as we might have wanted to go. And I responded, I'm trying to no longer think like this. I'm trying to accept whatever Krishna arranges. And the moment you do accept that, then moment Krishna, you give the space for Krishna to appear or to do something. If you always demand Krishna to come on your own terms, you know, he will not come. Krishna never is like you know, an automatic thing. You put some money into, I don't know if we have this in Persia, we put something and then we get some sweet out of the what is it called, automat, what? The thing we go like, yeah. What? A vendor machine. Krishna is never like that. And as long as we think like that, we will not be able to make spiritual realization. It's good to relax, in other words. So just, and at the same time, try to make everything very favorable for spiritual life. Good. But this is the six activities done on the bhajan marga, which I told you. You know, we are not pujaris, so pujaris do other things. We are not Vedic brahmanas. They do other things to communicate. We are, you know, in the Sankirtan movement, we follow this path. Vijayanayaka.
It's more related to something which you spoke about in the seminar about the government. So, you mentioned that what Indra, what Brahma did the biggest offense Because he separated the devotees and Lord Indra like bring them together. I would be, like you said, we are supposed to digest what we hear, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, a little bit analytical, and analyze that. And I was thinking, if you analyze Lord Indra, his idea was not to bring the devotees together, his idea was really to kill them and really like burn them. And he brings them all the devotees for 7 days. And if you analyze what Brahma's attempt, he just wants to be like, see what will happen if I take just for a moment. And he just looking just for a moment, calves and gopas. And what's the result of Brahma's activities? It's that 1 year all cows are able to feed Krishna, and all elderly gopis be able to take care in Vatsalya Bhava of the Lord. So for me it's like a little bit for my analytical mind, if you can say like that, a little bit unacceptable to offend one Brahma, if I can say, to say that he is like an Indra, really want to destroy.
That
his offense is bigger than
that. Yes, Brahma's offense is bigger than there are different perspectives. There are different perspectives. I told you one perspective by one acharya who makes the point that for Krishna, the most important is that his devotees are together with him. But there are other perspectives, and you are right. Indra really had a terrible motivation. He became so wild because his pride was hurt. You know, there were all these things waiting for his puja, and Krishna just took this to worship a rock. What? The rock is better than me? And Indra had, you must know, Indra had previously had something with rocks. He had attacked the mountains, you know, in the past. And now Krishna was showing him this. And he became so angry. He said, "I will annihilate everyone and everything here." And he started actually to attack with the hail. Hail, you know, this is like rain, which is like this and frozen. It's like ice. It's like cannons. And some of the coward boys fell unconscious when they were hit by these. It was really heavy. He was, you know, attacking with cannonballs of ice. So when Krishna saw this, his first reaction was, "I will kill Indra." Because he thought there is no difference between a demon, the demons whom I have killed, and Indra, who is now attacking my ganas, my associates. So his first reaction is, he thought of killing. Then his second thought was, "No, actually, Indra is also my devotee. He's now in Maya at the moment. I will kill him without killing him. I will kill his false pride." And then he did what he did, you know. So from that perspective, yes, Indra, Krishna never thought that he would kill Brahma. He was not so angry at Brahma. In other words, he didn't think, he really thought Indra was doing a heavier offense. But there is this perspective which is offered. In Krishna Leela, there are many perspectives. For instance, Sanatana Goswami thought when Kaliya went and captured Krishna and started to bite him in the chest and so on, that this was not sure. It was an embrace, and the bite was a kiss. Sanatana Goswami sees like this. You know, when you approach Krishna Leela, and I believe that's why you are asking, you have to know it is so absolutely wonderful and transcendental that it does never fit really entirely into the categories of thinking which we are accustomed to. Therefore, it's very, very nice to hear Krishna Lila, because it breaks our mundane understanding, or it is just different. And this is one of the therapeutical effects, you know, it just lifts the listener to the transcendental platform, because it's just so different, you know. Sanatana Goswami thinking Kaliya embraced Krishna, I mean, that's a foul perspective, isn't it? So there are different perspectives always. Your perspective is also correct. That's why we can understand it's correct, because Krishna wanted to really kill Indra.
I was thinking also in this another side, because Brahma bring devotee together 1 year, because otherwise other gopis didn't have possibility to take care of Krishna's cows also.
Yeah.
For all year, and this is like 7 days older, what's okay, this is like more like higher us. But I was thinking from that sense, also like
Brahma also brought, yeah. 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 Nice that you think about Krishna Lila. Yeah. So any other questions which you have at this moment?
That he knows that Krishna will answer to him when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Wonderful, wonderful. Adya, yeah.
How come that caterpillar is not afraid to die?
How comes that the caterpillar is not afraid to die? Usually the caterpillar is used as an example of transformation into something else, and in that process he will die. So your question, I believe, comes in this with this story that we are often afraid of our own transformation. See, stories, or let me say, analogies often go only so far. I cannot tell you the psychology of the caterpillar and what he thinks about his transformation, but I can answer your question. Outside of this analogy, we are afraid of transformation simply because we don't know what comes behind the transformation or after our present state, and we just maybe don't have enough trust or faith in Krishna that it will be good and in our interest. So therefore we are definitely afraid sometimes of the things which come. We don't yet have enough faith in Krishna and his doings. There are many, many stories in the Vedas about, you know, sometimes animal stories are used of animals who want to go to a new situation but are at the same time afraid. I do remember there was this caterpillar who was eating stool, and he met one day the butterfly, and the butterfly said, well, Why don't you come into the rose garden where you can eat the pollen of the roses? It smells nice, it's clean, there's honey and everything. The caterpillar became interested to go. But then, before he went, he had the idea, oh, what if I don't get enough food there? Hare Krishna. So he put some stool in his nose. Here and here. I'm sorry, Sashidevi, you're a cultured person, you don't. But that's what he did. So then the butterfly took his caterpillar brother, brought him or her to the rose garden and asked us, do you smell this amazing fragrance? Caterpillar said, no, it smells like home here. Then the butterfly looked and said, well, he is full of stool, you know. So he brought, the butterfly brought him to some water and just washed him in the water. I told you there's enough food here. Come out, eat the rose pollen and... We do not have a Russian translation, unfortunately. No problem? No, not possible. Not possible. Yeah. Prabhu, what do you wish? You want to participate? Please come in. Yes. Hare Krishna, thank you.
No English, sorry.
No problem, no problem. Close, well, this Prabhu has to leave.
Go into this.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Please. So sometimes, you know, this story tells us or shows us how a person didn't have enough faith, really, in that it goes in a you know, that you can exist without the old arrangements. And I believe that many of us have tried to bring their old arrangements into Krishna consciousness because they can't imagine to exist without the old arrangements. The controlling spirit, for instance, the enjoying spirit, our karmic books, you know, we have brought them, and therefore our movement at the moment is not always very spiritual, because there are so many totally unexperienced spiritualists in the Hare Krishna movement who really bring the material life into the movement, and therefore it is what it is. So we really need to work on our faith in things which are spiritual. And for that, it's very good to visit the Holy Dham, because there we can, you know, understand sometimes that there's life beyond the body and the mind, and there's really Krishna, and Krishna or Radharani, they really care for us. We have to increase our faith. Just imagine the moment of our death, which is the only thing which we know for sure that it will come in this life. All other things are uncertain. You know, when you die, there is this moment where you have to confront your Shraddha account. I know there's this god brother of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, who had a cancer in his body spreading, and he was starting to forget the verses which he was a very brilliant person in the movement of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He forgot all the verses, everything he knew because of the illness. And then he said towards the end of his life, all what I have now left is my Shraddha, my faith. So it's good to increase the bank of your faith, because at the certain moment, you know, you will have to place that everything goes away from you, everything breaks down, you know, your body and even your mind, and you can only place your foot in the land of faith, you know. So if there is nothing there, that is very painful. It's very painful, and it's hopeless. But the moment you have something, a small piece of land in the kingdom of Shraddha, then immediately when you touch that land, you're perfectly peaceful and happy. Perfectly. Usually Lord Krishna does come at this moment and helps the devotee have faith. There is a... Do we have a Bhagavad Gita here? Someone of you in the bags? Or? Yeah? Would you like to bring one? There's a verse in the Gita which I found very... is very much like a solace. Tolerance is big. You were so tolerant. Wonderful. So that verse gives me so much hope and so much happiness. How Krishna does appear. I will try to find this verse for you. I believe. I do hope I can find it very quickly. Now, please don't all start to talk to each other as I'm. Yes. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and who are always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. It is explicitly stated here, says Prabhupada, that the devotees are very fortunate to be delivered very soon from material existence by the Lord. The Supreme Lord herein promises that without delay he will deliver a pure devotee thus engaged. You know, how is he engaged? Well, he does his occupation to earn his livelihood, and at the same time he engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So if he does this, which is the normal situation of a devotee, you know, he earns some money to maintain himself in this world, then he teach us, the Supreme Lord herein promises that without delay he will deliver a pure devotee thus engaged from the ocean of material existence. This is his promise. Oh yeah, and here it is a verse from the Varaha Purana. Nayami paramangstanam achyadi gatim vina garuda skandam aropya yatecham nanivaritaha. The purport of this verse is that a devotee does not need to practice Ashtanga Yoga in order to transfer his soul to the spiritual planets. No. The responsibility is taken by the Supreme Lord himself. He clearly states here that he himself becomes the deliverer. A child is completely cared for by his parents, and thus his position is secure. Similarly, a devotee does not need to endeavor to transfer himself by yoga practice to other planets. No need. No need. Rather, the Supreme Lord, by his great mercy, comes at once riding on his bird carrier Garuda and at once delivers the devotee from material existence. This, I believe this is the very, very important thing, that the deliverance is in Krishna's hands. He is our deliverer. Wonderful, wonderful. Very happy that we could find this verse today. Do you sometimes think about your own death? Most of you are young. You sometimes think it will come. It will come. So then Krishna will also come. That's Shraddha. We should you work on the Shraddha. But if we don't have the Shraddha, then one is very disturbed. I remember my grandma. Before, my grandmother was extremely spiritually minded. Ooh, I'm only 1 millionth part of the Shraddha of my grandmother. She was really very strong. Yeah. And she said to me she wanted to see me one last time. She had lived long enough, and she didn't. She had some operation in the heart, you know, and she felt my life has been lived, it's all right now. So then I asked her, and she announced to me, don't tell to your parents, but I will soon go. Don't tell them. And then I said, yes, and you are not afraid? No. In the living, when I live in the hands of God. When I die, I also live in the hands of God. Where's the difference? Everything, very simple. I thought, well, grandmother, you are much more advanced than me in your Shraddha. I may have more knowledge of Vedic scriptures, but Shraddha is really so important. Simple Shraddha, the Lord's protection. But she was not afraid. So because we have no Shraddha, Adya, we are still afraid. We are sometimes afraid of transformation. We have some Shraddha, but we may need to work more on it. I believe if we start to look in our heart in what we have shraddha, we will get quite a good capital. There's much more there than we think. It's like, you know, with me, I always buy books, many books, and then when I come home, I notice I have already half of the books. This time I didn't make the mistake. I wrote a list. I looked before. You came. I guess not. So, yeah, any other then I'm very happy that you came. I feel now that it's time. It's 9:10. You may... We could sing one more bhajan. Krishna, Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Now one rule when we do bhajan, when we are short, no need to be so loud. And you have to look at the kirtan leader to catch the changes in the tempi, in the mood, and so on. If we play cartas during a bhajan, Siddheshwari, we should not invent new tempi or new styles, but we should be satisfied with accompanying.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Bye.